Thank you for being here tonight as we begin these most holy days, the holiest days of our church year. Calendar year 2023 is a very significant year for my biological family, rather unique, because we have in our family this year, and this year only, 75 years of priestly service represented. Father Uncle is 52 years, or Uncle Father. For me, I'm 23, and if you add 52 and 23, you get 75. That's a significant number. In the secular world, we'd call that a diamond. 75 years. And while I'm looking forward to my silver in 2 years, I'm happy to share a diamond with my uncle this year. Because the priesthood is absolutely nothing. And it's wholly corrupt if it's not a sharing. The church is corrupt if it's not an outward sharing. The sharing of the life of Jesus Christ that has been entrusted to her. And on this Holy Thursday evening, in churches throughout the world, we share that magnificent sharing of Jesus, that sharing that he accomplished and made in a most significant way. These 23 years of priesthood for me, this 23rd year, reminds me of the number of years that Father Sharrett served here. You know, he was here as long as I've been a priest, 23 years. That's a while. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to visit with him and be with him. And I remembered you to him, and I told him that we'd remember him to the Lord in this Mass. And we should. We should remember all of the priests who minister to us in some way, shape, or form. And maybe we can pause right now. Maybe we can still hear the rain and invoke God's thanksgiving, his mercy, and his abundant pouring forth of grace for all the priests who minister to us and share Jesus with our families. Tonight, as we celebrate this Holy Thursday Mass, we remember not just the priesthood, but we remember the Eucharist. And we do so this year in year one of the Eucharistic revival. It's 3 years long. To revive means to provide new life. It's what water does to a drooping plant. It's what Jesus did to Lazarus on Sunday. Two Sundays ago. To revive is to live again. It's different than renewing. We renew our license, we don't revive them. We renew wedding vows, we don't revive them. We revive those things that are life itself. We revive the living. And the Eucharist, my friends, is life. And the events of the next 72 hours that we celebrate as Christians are oriented to that ultimate revival, that life. Not just life on earth, but life in heaven. A revival from the clinches of sin and death to the life of heaven. That was tragically lost. I've said it so often from this pulpit over the past 8 years that we are not a Jesus club. If we are, we're doing a lousy job. I think the Rotary does a good job doing what they do. The church is not a Jesus club. The church is the very body of Christ. recipients of his life and love, instruments of his life and love to the world. And on this Holy Thursday evening, we see that life and love of Jesus manifest in a very particular way. In fact, we see his way explicitly. As much as the life of Jesus is about lifting up, it's remarkable to me how often Jesus Christ went down. In fact, I think he went down more than he went up. He was always going down. From the first moment he said yes to the Father's plan, he was conceived in the womb of Mary. He became one of us. His 30 years in Nazareth as a child, as a teenager, as a boy, as a young man, he lived hidden years, obedient, going down that we don't even know anything about. Down even in his ministry and work, associating with the outcast and sinners. I love the one where he bent down with the woman in adultery, eye to eye, writing on the ground. Or how about tonight? He kneels down and he washes feet. Or later tonight, he's sent down into the pit. While we're all sleeping comfortably in our beds, we remember tonight Jesus was arrested. And he spent that night in Caiaphas' palace in a pit praying Psalm 88. This going down was not only an act of humility, but it was the very means of unity. Unity with us. You see, he didn't want to just come to us. He wanted to meet us and to see us. And in our crookedness, we can't even look up. But he came down. And in seeing his eyes and encountering the living one, somehow, in some way, you and I, like so many who have gone before us, have become different. We've heard his word. We've seen his eyes, or our eyes in his. And in that going down, we have discovered a unity in Jesus Christ that we really ache for, without which we're very strange creatures. We tend to be strange with him. But this going down to us so that we may be with him and go up. My friends, it's not difficult theology, but it's the very substance of what we believe. And this way of Jesus Christ, we are called to participate in. To receive. He didn't come down for nothing. He came down for you. And we have been entrusted with his way. The early church wasn't called church. It was called the way. And we hear his way. We see his way so magnificently tonight and over the next 72 hours. And there is an explicit call in tonight's gospel. What I have done, you also must do. It's important to note that this going down of Jesus is not a put down. He doesn't put down. It's not a shame. It's not even a guilt. There's enough of that in the world. His going down is gift. It's love. And like a multifaceted diamond, there are so many manifestations. There are so many angles and aspects of what God's love in us can look like and can do. This love that we profess is no mere symbol. It's not a cubic zirconia. I used to say that in pre-Cana classes when I first was ordained. I said, ladies, if he ever gave you a cubic zirconia, what would you do? It's the real deal. And on this night, in an upper room, Jesus did something so significant, he spoke something so real, that the church has been believing and celebrating it since. And now you and I as church are so privileged to do the same. We believe and we celebrate the Eucharist, the most blessed sacrament, the body and blood, together with his soul and divinity, that of Jesus, and therefore the whole Christ, truly, really, and substantially contained in the Eucharist. It's him. And tonight, as that way of Christ continues to be proclaimed and celebrated, that way, and you and I have an opportunity to reach a new depth, to pray with Jesus this night and all day tomorrow and Saturday, to pray with the early church, to pray as the modern church, to pray as his church, as we await the fulfillment of the Father's plan, to pray for revival. Man, do we need revival? And it's happening. It can happen. It can be furthered in my faith and in yours. My friends, his way can become our way. And when our way becomes his way, we discover such beauty. I close with the words of St. Francis of Assisi. When we were with the hundreds of priests today, I happened to be speaking and talking next to a Franciscan. So I like this prayer of Francis. After he received the stigmata, he prayed, "Most high and glorious God, bring light to the darkness of my heart. Give me right faith, certain hope, and perfect love. Lord, give me insight and wisdom so I can always discern your holy and true will." My friends, give these gifts to our parish and everyone in it. Lord, give this gift to your church. And as we celebrate our Lord's Passover, help us with him and in him to pass over into life. Night.